We have two charges today on this feast of St. Nicholas. Blessed feast. St. Nicholas, of course, was first and foremost a lover of his people. Remember that. Lover of his people. A lover of his people. It's a good reminder, you know, for the priest, but also in the epistle, you have the other side of it. What must we do in this relationship between shepherd and sheep in order to, relieve the burden of the shepherd a little bit? Did you hear that epistle? What he said? He said, let's make it easy, like in this life, easier in this life, and at the judgment seat, to not have your shepherd like struggling and fighting all the time to what? Like for your souls. For your souls to be redeemed, for your souls to be saved. We do that anyway. We pray. You know, the beautiful thing about the church is just the way it's patterned after the kingdom of God and organically set up is you have this parent-child relationship. You have this brother-sister, brother-brother, sister-sister relationship. You have a real family, right? And when we come to a saint like St. Nicholas, when we come to someone whose number one criteria was generosity based on love, generosity based on his own, you know, sense of this parenting, this sense of, well, I might not have wanted the job in the first place, right? But boy, I have it. So I might as well just like throw myself into it because of Christ's love. And there's no saint that exemplifies that more, to take literally the love of Christ and personify it for his people. And you know, when we say his people, well, this is something I think we fall short in today. His people, like, was the whole city. He didn't care, you know, who they were. The ones that went to his church, for sure, he cared for them. But he cared for everybody, strangers and poor people, you know. He actually got involved in their lives on a deep, substantive level. So that's the one side, you know, that's the side of what the shepherds need to always continue to do. And by the way, when I say shepherd, fathers, mothers, parents of your own children, the same providential love. When we say providential love, it's not selfish. It's not, this is my child, right? They have to, you know, like, do what I say so it looks good on me. The shepherd or the parent or the, you know, whatever, you know, figure you want to use never thinks in terms of themselves. St. Nicholas, the reason he's St. Nicholas, he never thought of himself, you know? He always placed himself very low. And when other people needed something, he placed them very high in front of him. This is the mark of real parenthood and ultimately real sainthood. And so hopefully what that evokes in us, when we have our bishops, when we have our fathers, when we have our parents, when we have our teachers, right, is the willingness to make their job easier. I'm going to focus on what St. Paul says there. He says, you know, they have to give, like, for instance, I have to give a good accounting. Like, at the judgment seat, the way it was introduced to me one time, like, early on in, let's say, in my confession life or in my spiritual development, like, the spiritual father, the one who hears all the confessions, the one who takes on a lot of the burdens of your life, right? He's right there with you at the judgment. He's like, standing there, representing you in some way, especially with the sins you've confessed. That's how deep this parent-child relationship is. That's how important, you know, the kind of the cleansing and going deep so that we can share something on a deeper level rather than just, well, can you imagine to go to the judgment seat with like a confessor or a spiritual father or a group of them that don't know you very well, and then all they do is shrug I don't know much about this person. This is a kind of a good image, isn't it? Like, don't you want to know your children? Don't you want to know your parents? St. Nicholas did. Like I said, he got involved in the details of their life, right? And the stresses of their life. And he gave, like, from his own personal love and from his own personal suffering. Like, he would give people even if he didn't have it. So, it's a good, and give, and freely, not with strings attached. Again, we see so much of this these days. We need St. Nicholas's vision, his icon, which is, I give to you, and I don't care if you ever give it back. And I don't even want it back. And I don't even want to know, like, what you're doing with it or whatever. I just know, I see in your eyes that you have a deep hurt, and I love you so much, I want to heal that hurt. Something like this, right? And then the child says, yes, and thank you, my dear, beloved father, because you gave this to me, and it's going to a good cause, right? And we open up this relationship with each other. Christmas time is a great time for that, to focus on somehow going there more. As you're just getting wound up and thinking about, okay, all the million Christmas presents and all the holiday like festivities and all of this, just stop for a moment on this. It's kind of a good milestone day, December 6th every year, to say stop, quiet. I need to be generous, but not like just in the gift-giving, gleeful, ha-ha-ha way. I need to be generous, you know, like with my love. I need to be generous with, and you look around yourself in your life, you'll find like grayer areas, dark areas even, that maybe you kind of push aside a little bit, and you're always looking at the easy ones, the ha-ha-ha ones. But the darker ones, like, that we kind of push down and don't pay too much attention to. Now those, this would be a good day to start looking at that. So, you know, how do I need to be more generous and sacrificially loving on this St. Nicholas Day, in this area, for this person, or for this group of people, or for this situation, whatever. You'd be amazed at how, if you look for them, you find them. If you search your soul, right, you'll see that, especially during the Lenten period like this, it's not just a time for celebration. This is a time for deep, like, preparation, deep, like, encroaching on those otherwise unobserved areas, right? Read his life. Look at St. Nicholas today. Look at those little vignettes, you know, the little stories, one after the other, of how he helped people all the time, right? And try to get it inside of his heart. Find out how much his love drove him to places that we may never even think of going. Things we would never even think of doing. Conversations we would never even think of having. Right? Except by the grace and inspiration of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you start getting the spirit of St. Nicholas. Then you start getting the spirit of true Christmas, what Nativity really is. That's why this day, this quiet, reflecting day of St. Nicholas, is good for you. It challenges you. What? St. Nicholas, he's a jolly old fellow. Yeah. He goes to the core, because when we look at him, he's very bright. He's very kind of demanding, just because of who he was. He was a serious person, you know, who cared a great deal. And he also cared a great deal, and I won't talk a lot about this, but about the truth. He's the one who popped Arius right in the nose, right? At the same time, so generous, so loving. At the same time, a fierce defender of the truth. This is a combination that we're losing more and more, and we have to regain that, okay? Love for everyone unconditionally, uncompromising when it comes to who Jesus Christ, who he's standing for, and who he's representing in his life. It's beautiful. So, on this feast day, take some of that into your heart, and take him into your heart, and see, like, wow, there are literally drops of virtue that are being planted in my soul today by St. Nicholas. And you'll be excited to do something about that by the grace of God. Amen.